Well, I'm in Pittsburgh. Introduce yourselves.
My name is Lady.
Bill.
Okay, and let's start talking about the city of Pittsburgh itself. Population's about 900,000. Some people might be aware of it as kind of an old union town. So,
well, the labor movement has been active in Pittsburgh for many years, and the town includes the headquarters of the United Steelworkers and the United Electrical Workers of America, and those headquarters have been here for many years as well. This was one of the seats of the Industrial Revolution in this country, and so there was a lot of early class conflict here, often very bloody, and things have become more sophisticated, but there, of course, is still a class struggle going on here, as would be expected.
But you just think about it, actually, in terms of history and anarchism. Pittsburgh was the site of Berkman's attempted assassination of Frick, or it was from events arising here, wasn't it?
That's right. It was from events arising from the Homestead strike, and I think Berkman's rationale was that he was hoping an attack on such a figurehead as Frick, who was managing that plant at the time, while Carnegie was away out of the country, would really be the spark to ignite a widespread labor revolt. It didn't work out that way, and I think he realized that later on to a good extent. And there were a number of different anarchist enclaves in Pittsburgh. There was a large German anarchist community, I believe, on the north side of Pittsburgh, and that was active, I would say, probably into the 19-teens. And as well, I learned recently, actually, from a local historian, that there was a group of Italian anarchists who lived in East Liberty, which is just a mile or two down from where we're sitting right now, that published an anarchist newspaper into the 1930s, although they were not directly, doesn't appear that they were directly connected with the labor movement, and it wasn't any kind of syndicalist paper as such, but certainly not of, an orientation similar to the Gallianists, which is what a lot of people think of when they talk about Italian anarchism in the United States.
Today, Pittsburgh, a lot of that old traditional industry, like the steel stuff, is gone, I think. It's like a lot of cities in this area of the country. So what's their current sort of structure of the town in terms of work?
Well, actually, there are a lot of smaller steel operations that have, sort of tailor-made themselves into producing certain kinds of parts, that sort of thing. So I would say, the steel industry still exists in Pittsburgh. It is a smaller and, less influential than it once was. There has been a move in Pittsburgh towards, obviously, the education industry with a number of different universities in the area. And I think along with that, there's been some growth in the technological sector and also health services. And those are the things that really sort of get promoted and trumpeted by the politicians in terms of things that are going to encourage people to move to the area. There's still been a consistent outflow of young workers, and I think the city is very notable for its aging population, probably one of the oldest populations in Pittsburgh, with a lot of retired steel workers who chose to, remain in the area.
And in terms of current issues that are happening in the city, what would you identify?
Oh, well, there are always certainly plenty of issues about a variety of things. One of the main things lately, I would say, has been the issue of public transportation, where the city has, pretty poor public transportation system to begin with, and then there have just been a number of cuts, cutting back on different routes and the hours of operation, and it's just really, really hit the working class very hard, especially for folks who work, who don't work the normal 9-to-5 shift, and in some ways the invisible workforce, the folks who keep the city running at night, but they've been hit pretty hard by all this, and that's been a big struggle, and there have been a lot of local campaigns around that, and I know that members of the anarchist movement have been involved in those campaigns and struggles. Maybe not as much as they could be, but they have noted it being a very, very important struggle here in Pittsburgh.
One of the things that I'm involved in is a program called Book'em, and we send books to prisoners. The population of Pennsylvania is 12,440,000 people. And of those people, 44,000 of them are in state prisons. That's not counting the people that are under house arrest and so on and so forth. So there's way more people in the system, but 44,000 of them are in state prisons. And there's 26 state prisons. One is juvenile only, two is female only. So what I do is work with a group of people. Some of them just recently got out of prison and received our programs when they were in prison. So that's kind of a great thing to see volunteers coming in from that group of people. But we send reading materials and books and get the library stocked in prison. So prison work is one of the big things that I'm involved in.
And in terms of anarchist or anti-authoritarian organizing in the city, what exists here?
There's a group called the Pittsburgh Organizing Group that's been around here since about 2002. It was started with about four people and has grown to probably, I would say, you know, between 20 and 30 like-minded people, not aware of any requirements for membership. It has recently become a explicitly anarchist organization, although membership, from what I understand, is still open to folks who, you know, identify more broadly as anti-authoritarians but don't necessarily consider themselves anarchists. It includes members into their late 30s, but predominantly I would say the membership is in the early 20s, with even they've been able to get high school students involved in different activities, and they've been doing a lot of anti-war work and anti-recruitment efforts within the city, and they, you know, are able to mobilize fairly quickly for things. They don't, I would say, they haven't done a tremendous amount of work with a lot of other community organizations, and, you know, because of the press and I think some prejudices against the anarchist movement in Pittsburgh, I think they've had, you know, some hostility from other, you know, quote, progressive organizations in terms of being able to work with them on a regular basis.
There's also a local bookshop.
Yeah, we have a bookstore here. It's not a info shop specifically, but they have a lot of radical books and so on and so forth, and they're run in a collectivized format.
And I should add, you know, there's also been some interest in having a local NEPAC branch up and running in Pittsburgh, and I think that the people involved with that tend to be, you know, in their later 20s or early 30s and more. You know, they tend to work full-time rather than be students, although certainly, you know, the organization is open to folks who are not in that situation. And, you know, I'd certainly like to see that group grow in Pittsburgh, and hopefully it can tie in a little closer with different community organizations and become involved in some more popular struggles.
The building we're sitting in right now doing this interview is called the Thomas Merton Center, and it's been here since at least the mid-70s, and a lot of stuff, there's probably about 30 different groups functioning out of this, working out of this space. One of them that I'm familiar with is Rust Belt Radio, and another is Bookum, which I'm doing, but there's lots and lots of groups, and I would say that mainly their focus right now is immigrant solidarity and also anti-war campaigns.
One of the things I think is remarkable about Pittsburgh in general is that different groups are able to interact with one another fairly well, and there has not been, you know, a very high level of hostility, and so there will be a lot of overlap between who is involved in different campaigns, and everyone understands that, you know, there is a need to support one another, and it is part of a larger struggle. Although, you know, obviously I think in any, you know, smaller city, relatively speaking, which, you know, I consider Pittsburgh to be, there tends to be, you know, some degree of burnout with people, you know, seeing so many different things that are worthwhile and getting involved with spreading themselves too thin. I think, you know, that's probably a problem everywhere, actually.
The question I traditionally end these interviews with is asking people what they make of the whole electoral circus that's going on at the moment.
Yeah, I think, I'm fairly new to the area, but I have definitely been able to see this weird sense of new hope with this whole Obama campaign. And one of the neighborhoods that I walk through on the way to work, I always think it's kind of interesting, but there's probably about 15 different stores that are all black run. This is a predominantly black neighborhood. And out of those 15 stores, I counted 11 of them had huge Obama posters, like more than one, throughout their windows. So, I mean, that's, you know, 11 out of 15 businesses having Obama. And I don't see any other campaign posters anywhere. They're all Obama. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It definitely seems way teetered to the other side. And the Pennsylvanians are going to decide the primary soon, so there's this weird sense of hope with having a black dude running, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I don't feel the elections are terribly relevant to my life. I think it's going to be a lot of the same thing that we've seen over the last 8 years and, you know, of course, under the previous Clinton administration, which was a Democratic administration, which pushed through NAFTA, which has, really caused an erosion in terms of, labor standards and working standards that has not favored working people. Now, mind you, I'm certainly not against working with folks in other countries who produce different things, but obviously it's not about that. It's becoming a race to the bottom in terms of standards, and I think we need to find a way to organize from the bottom up to really elevate that standard of living for everyone and build some real power, not figuring that somehow by going into a booth or putting a piece of paper into a box somehow we're going to liberate the working class. That's never happened, and it never will happen. Unless we actually build, community and labor organizations to confront the current power structure and the economic system that we live under. So really, Obama, McCain, Clinton, I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference in the long run, although perhaps, there's always a debate within the anarchist community as to, whether or not people should vote at all and to what extent it validates the current electoral system. I don't place too much weight in that one way or the other. I'm not too concerned. If people want to go and vote, that's fine. And, I do understand some of the reasons that people might, hoping it might be some slight improvement for people, if not, here in this country, maybe in other parts of the world who, definitely seen a step up, I would say, in, U.S. aggression under the Republican administration, at least more of a visible step up rather than simply, economic policies that commit violence of another kind. But as for me, I'm certainly not terribly involved in the electoral contest, and I prefer to focus my energies elsewhere.